Acts the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. It is the bedrock verse of Scripture that we use in talking about the Holy Spirit. The sad thing is it usually ends at starts at verse number 1 and ends in verse number 4, and we don't talk about the rest of this incredible encounter with the Holy Spirit. Our dads would admit one thing to you today. They didn't come here to be showboated. They didn't come here to be honored necessarily. They appreciate the gifts. They appreciate the things that we do, but at the same time, I guarantee every one of them would say, listen, just get me out of the limelight. Matter of fact, I had one dad come to me. They said, listen, if you draw my name, don't you dare call me up there. I thought we were going to get in a fist fight. It was that bad. But I understand. Here's the thing about the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be showboated. He doesn't want to be introduced as something that's just weird or spectacular beyond just who he is. As a Pentecostal church, we're comfortable with the word Holy Spirit, but what we should be more comfortable with is what he does in our life, because it's normal. It happens all the time. It's not an every now and then hit and miss thing. It's not about a revival that was created so that we can talk about him once again. It's about the involvement he has in us every day. But at the same time, all the practical purposes that we can throw out there, the Holy Spirit really, in many ways, becomes the neglected one. We know that God the Father exists. We honor him. We know the Holy Spirit is there only because we mention him. And we can't do that anymore. We generally respect the person of the Holy Spirit, but I don't think we think a whole lot about him. We plan our futures, we set our course, we pursue our goals, hoping that God will bless all of these, and many times without an active involvement of the Holy Spirit. And we can't do that anymore. It doesn't matter if you measure that in decades or whether it's measured in minutes. There is so much more that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life, and we'll just give him access, an invitation, then our lives are going to be impacted by that. I love it, and I know that Kelsey and Dylan probably didn't plan this, but you keep hearing just a little bit of thinking there. Yeah, sure, there's God and Jesus saved me, but he keeps talking about the Holy Spirit's involvement. It's not just an add-on, it's the truth of what happens in our lives. I want to take you to a verse of Scripture, Joshua the 5th chapter. Joshua, you understand, was the leader of the Israelite nation at this point. Moses is dead. They've crossed the Jordan River. They're fixing to take on Jericho. This is a pretty big battle. For many of us, it's just a reference to the Old Testament, another event, if you will. But this was huge. It was looming before the Israelites and Joshua himself. He's soul-searching at this moment. God has given his directive, and he's soul-searching. He's trying to make sure that he's gotten everything exactly the way it ought to be. And I just want you to know that something that happened to Joshua in that moment sometimes happens to us, and let me use that as a form of illustration. It said, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with the sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? In other words, are you for us or against us? And he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. He's preparing not only himself, but all of these people to attack Jericho. So who is this person that showed up unannounced? Well, it depends on where you want to go with that, but I would like to point your attention on his arrival instead of his title. He just shows up out of nowhere, and that's just like the Holy Spirit, to show up unannounced. He just pops in out of nowhere, and it's not because he wants to surprise you. I've got a granddaughter that, you know what her little trick is now? You come home, you don't see her, you go, oh, where's Mabry Ellen? And she goes, boo! And if I don't freak out and act like I'm scared, she's disappointed. Well, it's not like that at all. This is a little gimmick here, but the Holy Spirit is always ready to jump into your life, to give you counsel, or to give you help, or to remind you of something, to give you strength, to give you power that it talks about in Acts 1:8. That's exactly what he's doing. But Joshua appeared ready to fight him. One of the key components to the victory that they're needing, it shows up, and he's about ready to just go to battle with. He's not sure who he is for. And a lot of times when the Holy Spirit shows up, we question his integrity, his purpose, his presence. What do you want? Is this going to cost me something? We start having to figure out everything before we're really receptive to them. I know that we don't really mean to do that, but that's the human condition. What is this all about? What's it going to cost me? Is this going to be inconvenient? Do I really need this in my life? Well, once we get comfortable with the Holy Spirit, it's not about intrusion. Now he's just a part of our life. It's a basic part of our life. We seem to especially question his role in our life today. Versus Acts, the second chapter. I love the video that we just showed. It's just words, but when you began to see, you hear the wind, and you began to see visually those colors, and it represents fire. And it's pretty exciting, the things that happened there. But that happened then, but now today, some 2,000 plus years later than that, what is the Holy Spirit's role in our life? Listen, you'd not be surprised, and you should never, never be amazed that the Holy Spirit, God himself and Jesus himself, often does things a lot more than just one time. This was not a one-time thing. I've run into people over the course of years that said, that was just for the Old New Testament. That was just for those believers. It was just this and just that. I'm sorry, I have a problem with that, because throughout the New Testament, you see it occurring again and again and again. And God does things again and again and again. If you look in the Bible, you saw that Moses was there when they parted the Red Sea. I love that just chapters later, you see that here's now Joshua, and God parted the Jordan River so they could go over. You remember the time in the Old Testament where Moses came upon the burning bush? He says, remove your sandals for your own holy ground. And here again, here's Joshua in a whole different circumstance. He says, take off your sandals, your own holy ground. God repeats himself, not because he's repetitious, it's because he loves, keep doing the miraculous and the miraculous. Remember the New Testament, Jesus fed 5,000 with a couple of fish and a couple of pieces of bread. He does it again later on, another 4,000, miraculous. God is doing it again. Can I just tell you, I want to say it simply and just purposely. God is doing it again. The Holy Spirit is falling again and again and again. For those who are receptive, those who are listening, those who are ready, those who are asking, those who are inviting, those who are open to his Spirit and his moving of the Spirit, it's happening again and again and again. The Bible does not give us the exact identity of this commander of the Lord's army. We don't know if it was Jesus or God himself. We just don't know. And probably don't need to know. Here's what's significant, though. The significant fact is that he was seriously underestimated and overlooked. God forbid that we go through our lives, much less this service, and overlook the impact of the Holy Spirit. We sing songs about the Holy Spirit. We sing songs about God doing great things. But are we really expecting? Are we looking for that? Are we inviting that? Are we really open to that kind of thing? I think it would be shocking to admit that sometimes we're not. The danger to us, just like it was Joshua, is that we fail to realize the importance of his presence and how much he wants to help. It's amazing. Holy Spirit's right there, ready to go, and we never ask him to do a thing. That would be a tragedy in our lives. We generally give due respect to God the Father, like I said, and Jesus the Son. But the Holy Spirit doesn't even have a name. He just has a title. He's got a job. That's about it. Sometimes we really minimize it. We don't mean to, but we just kind of cordon him off into this part of our lives and not include him in every part of our lives. Well, we haven't done that here lately, not in this church that I could see. I've seen many of you just really, really be open and receptive to what the Holy Spirit's doing. I've seen many of you respond. It's just been clear on your face. I've heard the conversations. I'm excited about what's happening, because this is not apart from God the Father and Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus still loves us and saves us and died for us. It's still a part of the picture. God created this whole thing, put you and I here. We were his best idea, still part of the picture. And the Holy Spirit comes along and says, while you're on earth, I want to give you power. I want to work with you. I want to do things in you. So a couple of things we need to talk about the Holy Spirit real quick, okay? You need to remind ourselves, he is a person and not a thing. He is a person and not a thing. I'm going to tell you what, it's amazing the difference between a thing and a person. Now, how many of you, let's just be honest, really, I want you to participate. How many of you have a nickname for your car? Yeah, we all have nicknames. My first car was Pete. I had a little Corvair, 1962 Corvair, and then I got another car. It was a 1961 Saab. And so Saab, Saab, whichever way you go there, okay? So I had Pete, and I had another car, so I called it Repeat. Aren't I clever? It was awesome. It was so much fun. All my cars had names. But you know what? We didn't talk to each other. I talked to it, but it never talked back to me. It never responded like a person. We need to understand the Holy Spirit is not a thing. It is a person. Listen, he's not just an emotion. It's not just a feeling, because that's easy. A lot of times we equate the Holy Spirit with this emotional thing. Hey, you know what? Anytime you touch base with God, it's emotional. I wish we could have seen. I wish there was a camera, security camera that caught the night that Moses came up on the burning bush and he heard the voice that couldn't be identified, but it came out of the burning bush and it says, "Take off your sandals, you're on holy ground." I would imagine that's a little emotional. It's okay to be emotional. This isn't about being out of control. The second thing is this. Guess what? He speaks to us. That's what people do. You converse. You talk. You can talk to him. He will talk to you. Let me take you to some scriptures. Acts 13:2 says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" 1 Timothy 4:1. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." Hebrews 3:7. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice." Revelations 2:7. "He who has an ear, let him hear with the Spirit what the Spirit says to the church." Okay, Pastor, we get it. He speaks. Do you really get it? Do you really get it? You may know that he speaks, but is he speaking to you? The answer is yes. You just have to listen, and you have to be tuned in. You ever had a conversation with somebody, you go, "Boy, I'm on FM and they're on AM. And you know, I'm sorry. You're on Facebook and I'm on Twitter. I'm sorry. The AM and FM thing, I lost half of you right there, okay? I understand, but you know, we're two different things. We're not communicating, okay? But the Holy Spirit isn't out here doing something weird that we have to kind of find his secret frequency. He's talking to our hearts, and we need to understand that he is there. There is so much a part of the Bible, if you'll read it, especially through the New Testament. After the Holy Spirit comes upon those disciples on that day, you begin seeing that Spirit is just continuously being introduced into Scripture. It's not just a mention about God. Listen, he desires us to work with him. He equips us and gives us these incredible abilities. The Holy Spirit takes ordinary men and women and gives them the ability to do extraordinary things. Now, we love stories when we hear about a grandma or a mother and the car rolls over their child and, you know, they're 75 pounds, you know, whatever. I'm sorry, that would be when they're 3 years old. But, you know, when they're now just a young person, whatever, and they pick the car up. Incredible feat of just unbelievable human ability to lift this car up. But you know what? I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit does things that are just more beyond that. It's not measured in physical strength. It's measured in his commitment to us. If we've become insensitive to his voice, we don't hear him. And we've got to get beyond that. We will be bound to human knowledge if we ignore the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't care how much you're going to go straight to heaven. I don't care how much you love God. But without the Holy Spirit, you've got human wisdom guiding you. And that's why you're constantly having to go back to the altar and pray for forgiveness. Because your decisions, your lifestyle, your tendencies, your human frailty brought you back to a sinful decision. And God says, I want to do much more than that. The third thing is simply this. We need his work in our life. We need him in our life. Whether we realize it or not, we need him in our life. Instead of doing our own thing, we need to do his thing. And we need to let him do his thing in us. D.L. Moody said this, "We want the Holy Spirit to work in our way. And if he doesn't come in the way we expected, then we don't think it was the work of God because it has not come in the usual way." Acts, the second chapter, that was not a usual day. That was not a normal day. And you know what? Most of us, if we could just be honest, if we were risky enough, if we were bold enough and courageous enough, we would say, "I'm tired of normal. I'm tired of being beat up by the bills. I'm tired of being beat up by my emotions. I'm tired of a daily grind. I'm tired of feeling powerless. I'm tired of struggling." Well, you know what? You can have a brand new experience. He goes on to say this, "What we need to do is to let the Holy Spirit work in his own way." Do we not see the danger in not letting him lead our life and give us what we need to do? If we're encouraged when we read the Bible, it is because the Holy Spirit has got in there and made this word come alive. If we are convicted of our sin, it's because the Holy Spirit loves us too much through the love of God to let us continue to destroy our life. If we are comforted in the midst of turmoil or stress, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit reassuring us that everything is going to be okay. He shows up in every instance to take us by the hand through anything that we face. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't something that we should pull off the shelf when it's a biggie. Everything in our life should be involved in asking the Holy Spirit's involvement, influence, and decision and guidance. We just put Him over there when we want special stuff, and I don't think that's what we would like if we were Him. Let me take you to Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Abound in hope. But then look at this little tag on the end of it. We love this verse of Scripture so far. God said He's a God of hope. He's going to give us hope. He's going to let us abound in joy and hope. And then it says this, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just rhetoric unless we involve the Holy Spirit in our life. Let me also share this with you. We need the Holy Spirit in our life if we're going to live a holy life. If we're going to live a holy life. Does that scare you? I remember when I was first got saved, I mean, I had a lot to learn. There was a lot of things that needed to be redirected. I needed to be refined big time. And being holy was something I was foreign to me. It was all about do this or do that. It was all about you say this or you say that, or you don't say this and you don't say that. It was all about these do's and don'ts instead of this holy life. But the Holy Spirit comes and He gives us this ability to live a holy life. Who among us can live a life pure enough to serve the Father's purposes outside of the Holy Spirit? None of us. None of us. You're done. Without the Holy Spirit's ability in there to live a holy life, you're done. Jesus calls us to personal holiness. He expects us to be holy even as He is holy, but He gives us the Holy Spirit to equip us to live that holy life. Can you see this rescue moment? Let me take you back to when I met Jesus. I met Jesus and someone rescued me from the sin that I had committed, the death penalty that was associated with that. The wages of sin is death. He came and rescued me. Then you know what? When He left, He said, I'll send back the Holy Spirit and He will guide you into all truth. And now it's through the Holy Spirit that's going to help me to do these things that I was doing before but never do them again, to live this holy life. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? Are you going to be absolutely flawless? Absolutely not. But a holy life is not something we go, I'll never get there. I've seen so many Christians get this close to wanting to live a holy life, but they think of their frailty. They think of their problems. They think of the temptations that trip them up. They think of their thought life, and they go, I'll just never make it. And they live these substandard Christian existences. God says, you know what? You can love it here. A little bit of heaven can live in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit if you'll just let Him. Look at what it says in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Old Testament. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Think about who you were before you met Jesus. Dylan, think about what you were, what your marriage was, what you were going through before you met Jesus. You had a horrible heart. You had a selfish heart. And that's why you guys fought all the time. But what's your testimony now? God gave you a new heart and a new spirit. I love this. It goes on to say this, I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And as you did that, and as Kelsey, you've done that, that's why you lost your friends. That's why they couldn't identify with this thing. God gave you this ability to live a life that you never could have lived on your own. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 4. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. Listen, I realize that when you look in the mirror, you see all the flaws, but God says, you know what? With my Holy Spirit in you, I just see nothing but the creation of God. And it's cool how the Bible says that you are a new creation. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Could it be that when we sin, it's not just a bad decision, but it's the neglect and maybe even the absence of the Holy Spirit in our life? Could it be that without Him, we don't know what to do? Without Him, we fail to be a pure and holy person, void of joy, will not be successful? Absolutely. It happens all the time. It happens every day. There is no holy living outside the Holy Spirit's control. Listen, if you're trying to find the energy and the strength and the encouragement to be holy, you're not going to find it in yourself. You're going to find it in the Spirit's involvement. He leads us to places that you never dreamed possible. He is the ambassador to this life that we never dreamed could ever be there. So we try to make the best of what we got, but we're neglecting what He can offer. Now that's why we need to receive the Holy Spirit every opportunity we can. He works deep inside of us to change the desires that we have of just pleasing ourselves. Do you realize how huge that is? You remember what Paul said? Paul was writing to the Romans. And I love this piece of Scripture, especially when you get over into the New Testament. In the New Living Translation, because of how wordy it is. But he just says, I know I'm supposed to be doing this life. That I'm supposed to be living for God, but I can't do it. I keep coming back to the Scripture because it defines all of us. The very thing that I should be doing, I'm not doing. And he has this big turmoil. What in the world am I going to do? When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit gets in there and says, listen, quit worrying about what you can't do. Instead, start focusing on what we can do. Don't you love the word we when you got a big job to do? Don't you love the word we when it comes to something in your life that you can't do by yourself, but somebody shows up? Don't you love it when you have a work day at the church and other people show up? I do. I get real excited because I bring rakes for those people. I bring trash bags for those people. And when they get here, it's cool. I'm just like the Holy Spirit, just equip you to do. Never mind, I'm just getting off there. So when one author put it this way, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can subdue the strong urgings of the lower nature. Before I read the rest of this, let me just tell you, too often, if we're not careful, and we start talking about Pentecost, and we start talking about the day that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we link it with what it should be linked. There is this powerful transition from these people from being almost cowardly to being bold. These people were transitioned from people that didn't know exactly what to do, and the next thing you know, they're out there preaching it. They're powerless one second, and they're full of power the next second. And the Holy Spirit came and assisted all that, and it came with the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It came with the appearance of tongues on all of them. And they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's the clue. As the Spirit gave them utterance, and their life was changed. It wasn't for a 24-hour period. It wasn't until the altar call was over. Their entire lives were changed. These disciples who didn't know what to do but other than hold up in the upper room and wait for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they led their lives down the road so intently that every one of them except for one was martyred for their faith. Do you think that's a little bit of a commitment? Absolutely. Here he says, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can subdue the strong urgings of the lower nature. We've been there. We've done that. We've tried to do it right. You've tried to live right. You can't do it. He says this, He is the only one who can break habits that have been repeated countless times. How many times have we come back to the altar and said, God, here I am again. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I went back to that website. I can't believe I told that joke. I can't believe I watched that show. I can't believe I gossiped about that person. I can't believe I let that word come out of my mouth and on and on and on. He's the only one that can break those habits. He's the only one who can overcome Satan and all his subtle temptations. Listen, just as we need the power of the Holy Spirit, it's for a whole lot of reasons other than to just get blessed personally. There's a war out there, and your enemy wants to take you down. The minute you asked Jesus into your life, you became a target. You became his issue. And he doesn't like that whatsoever. It says, the more we walk in the Spirit, the more we share Christ's attitude towards sin, we get beyond simply turning over a new leaf or promising to be different. How many times have you been sick to death? You've come to this altar, said, God, forgive me. And your first thought is, I wonder how long it'll be before this happens again. That's a defeated attitude, and it didn't come from the Spirit. Your flesh is telling you you're a repeat offender. And Satan says, don't worry, it'll be just a little bit of time. And you're in his house today, and he wants you to believe that everything that I'm saying, everything the Word has said is just for the moment. And the minute you walk out there, that's the real world. And I don't know what I'm talking about, and God's not going to be faithful. He says, the minute we do that, we get beyond simply turning over a new leaf or promising to be different. I love this. We start to think about sin the way God does. Instead of looking at sin like, oh no, can I keep from doing it? We begin to see that God says, I love you too much. Turn your attitude towards sin the way I hate sin. I abhor sin. And we are repulsed by it. This is the last phrase. This is the work of the Spirit. You want to be changed today? You want to be transformed today? You want to be a new person today? You want to feel that power today? I promise you, this preacher doesn't have the words to get you there, but the Holy Spirit has a commitment to not only get you there, but take you far beyond. Our Heavenly Father sees this moment and asks you to seize it as well, because He, in conjunction with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit, wants this day to be one of the most dynamic days in your life. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back. As they do, I'm going to take the opportunity of Father's Day to ask every man, not just dad, but future dads as well, I'm going to ask you if you would set the pace and if you would lead this crowd into a moment of literally asking for the Holy Spirit to come and do a work in your life. Some of you have been seeking and have been praying about and desperately wanting to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe today is your day when you ask earnestly from your heart for the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to confirm that with His presence. I believe the day will be happening. There's some of you, you're struggling. I have described to you, not only just through my words, but also the words of others that I've borrowed through here, that you're just tired of being this struggle back and forth. And you want to be a victor. You want to be victorious. You want to win. You want to overcome this thing. You want to come to the altar because you're sick and tired of the back and forth and the back and forth. And today, you want to leave here like a man of God. And I'm going to ask you to lead this crowd. We don't do this very often. But I got to tell you, as strong dads and strong men, and it doesn't matter if you measure it by 13, 14, 15, or 88, that's what we need. Brother North Stewart, you're 88 years old. You've done your time. You don't need to come. You know, you got every excuse in the world to just coast. But here you are. Thank you for honoring us, being that kind of man, that kind of leader. And this man will tell you, it's all because of the Holy Spirit. And he's been through a few things. He's been through a war. He's lost his wife. I don't know everything, but he's had some big physical problems. I love his spirit. When I think of Norris Stewart, I see a man full of the Spirit. May that be all of our prayer. I realize I'm pointing you out, I'm calling you out, but it's not to embarrass you, it's to invite you. If this church, if this community, if you as an individual, if your family is going to make it, then we have to lead the way. But you can't do it by yourself. We can only go so far. And that's why the Holy Spirit is committed to take you and me, these fragile little, no big deal guys, say, you know what? I will do extraordinary things in your life. I will bless you. I will give you children. And I will put my Holy Spirit on them. I will help you with your finances. I will be there in your time of trouble. When next time you're tempted, I will show up and give you the power to live a holy life. Don't you agree that that's something worth fighting for? Now I'm going to ask every man to stand and come to this altar and fight for it right now. If you need the Holy Spirit in your life, then I want you to just begin praying. Oh, Father, help me this day. I pray this is the day that I receive the Holy Spirit. If not beyond that, just pray the prayer that you know you need to pray. Father, help me to be a good man. Whether you're already a father, whether you're married or not, it's irrelevant. God, help me to be a good man. Help me to be the person that you've asked me to be. Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray for these men, these powerful, powerful men. This goes beyond just a little potential. These are guys that within in and of themselves, they've been there, done that, but they're going to keep going. Because today, Lord God, you have promised us something that we can come up with our own ourselves. We can be self-made men. We can learn from the mistakes, and we can be challenged and encouraged by our dads and the dads before them. But today, this is about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. So I pray, oh God, a powerful anointing on all of these men. I pray that you would just pour out your Spirit in their life. I pray that today, Lord God, there would be something that crawls up within them that is created that can only be placed there by the Holy Spirit. And I pray you'll confirm it with your word. Confirm it with your Spirit. Confirm it with the things that you want to say. Father, I pray that this will be much more than just a moment where these men are kind enough to respond to the pastor's request for them to come to the front of this church. I pray right now, Lord God, that it will be through their spirit and their heart that you see great potential. And right now, Father, will you do a work in their lives? Will you begin to confirm in them what you want to say to them? In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. As the worship team begins to lead us in a couple of songs before we're dismissed, if your dad, if your brother, if your uncle, your friend, if there's somebody up here you want to pray for, you come up right now. You just lay a hand on their shoulder. You give them the biggest hug. You make this the best Father's Day that they've had in a long time. Because not only are they being visited by the Holy Spirit, but it's being confirmed by someone very special in their life. Lord God, we pray that you would do it right now. Right now, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. We lay our sin out on this altar, and we ask you to be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are open. We are receptive. We're asking for the Holy Spirit to come and do a dynamic work in our life. Compel us, oh God, to reach out to you, to love you, to strive to be closer to you in this moment, oh God. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.